is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. My friends, it's great to be with you again, to worship our Lord Jesus Christ, and to discuss the important topic, who are God's chosen people? It's always a privilege to be with you as Bible Home Church is broadcast around the world, and we have just a tremendous audience, even listening in foreign nations. We especially appreciate those of you who have written the ministry and let us know you're praying for us. You give of your resources, and we know that money is not easy to come by for many of you, but you truly care to send us your tithes, your love gifts, into this ministry. And we want you to know it's having a tremendous impact. I'm getting letters from even Africa and South America. People are listening to this program, and, you know, my friends, they're thirsty. Oh, there is a great hunger for the Word of God. And that was prophesied by the Old Testament prophet of Amos, that in these last days there would be a famine, not only of bread, but of the teaching of the Word of God. And now it is happening. And if you're thirsty, I hope you'll tune in each week and listen as we go into God's Word and from there gain nuggets of wisdom. Who are God's chosen people? You know, in the book of Genesis, it said that Abraham would receive a blessing. And he did. It says also that those who have faith, such as Abraham, and are of his family, will be blessed by God. But those who reject the message that God gave Abraham will be cursed. Now, a lot of people believe that that simply means that the Jews, if we bless the Jews, we'll be blessed. And if we curse the Jews, we'll be cursed. Well, you see, you got it all mixed up, friends, because it says very clearly there that it's the seed of Abraham. And what is the seed of Abraham? Well, Galatians chapter 3 says the seed is, well, it's Jesus. That's right. The seed of Abraham was Jesus. And you know what, my friends, when you plant a seed, what happens? Jesus told you about that. Remember the story of the mustard seed? How even though tiny, it became a great tree. And Jesus is the seed of Abraham. And he is the very Word of God. So if you are of the seed of Abraham yourself, then Jesus has been planted in your heart. Now, at some later date, we're going to be talking about the seed faith doctrine of Christ. Now, please don't start saying, oh boy, Texas bought into that seed faith doctrine. He's going to tell us about what Oral Roberts and Robert Lyerden and all of those guys are talking about, John A. Vanzini. The seed faith. You send him money and you'll be blessed by God. Oh, you got it wrong, friends. That's not the seed I'm talking about. Jesus was asked about the seed. Remember the parable of the seeds? And he said, if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of my parables. But if you understand this parable, he said, if you do understand, you'll be converted and your sins will be forgiven you because you'll understand all the parables. And he said to his disciples, and friends, listen, are you one of his disciples today? Jesus said, it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. You can know the seed faith doctrine. And it's not a tough thing to know and understand. Because Jesus said, The seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God was planted in Abraham. And let me tell you, my friends, that is a blessing. If you receive the Word of God gladly, it will grow in you and you will be blessed. But if you receive it not, then you will be cursed by God. That is the message of the seed, faith of Abraham. Because he believed in faith and it was imparted to him for righteousness. And Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and was glad. And the Jews said, what do you mean he saw your day? Why, you weren't even born then. And they didn't understand Jesus was, he was very much alive because he is the only begotten son and he was with God from the very beginning. Well, the seed. Are you of the seed of Abraham? Well, if the seed is the Word of God and you have God's Word planted in you, then you must be. Oh, this is a great message. What a great message. And you know, the wonderful thing about knowing who are God's chosen people is it doesn't denigrate or degrade any race of people because Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. Did he die just for Jews? Of course not. Did he die just for Gentiles? Why, absolutely not. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. That whosoever counts, I mean, think about that. Whosoever. Does it say whosoever of the Jews? No. Whosoever of the Gentiles? No. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Don't you just love it that God is no respecter of persons? You know, Peter favored his own Jewish race and God chastened him, gave him a vision, told him he was wrong. I believe that was even the infirmity in Paul's flesh. A lot of people say, what was the thorn in Paul's flesh? I believe it was pride. He was proud of the fact that he was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was proud of the fact that he was Jewish. And you know, that was a great impediment to him. He was so proud, he even went with the Pharisees and was a Pharisee and persecuted the people of God. And in persecuting them, he was pricking at Jesus. Remember that light came to Paul on the road to Damascus? Jesus didn't say, oh, you're harming my children. He said, you're harming me. To Paul, what you're doing to me. Paul thought he was doing what was right. You see, he was so proud to be a Jew, and he wanted to keep that Pharisaic faith of the Jews. I don't even want to call it faith, just let's call it the law of the Jews. And this was a prideful thing to him. In his flesh, he was Jewish, and he wanted to be a Jew. And the Jews were taught they were superior to all other races, and through them would come the great kingdom of the Jews on earth. And a new King David would come up, a great warrior and a great monarch, and the whole world would be filled with the power of the Jews. But Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth, and it confounded them all. And he didn't come as a conquering warrior for an earthly kingdom, because the new Jerusalem is the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God he plants in the heart of men. And you become a living stone, and all of us together as Christians, we living stones are built up and become and are the temple of the living God. Jesus being the cornerstone. And I might add, the headstone too. Well, are you God's chosen people? Some say only the Jews can be called God's chosen people. Certainly God chose them for a purpose. And he chooses people today for a purpose. Well, we're going to continue our series then, my friends, on this vital issue. By the way, if you want to know about the blessing and the cursing that God said he would bring to people who blessed Abraham or cursed Abraham, remember that in Genesis? You can read about the blessing and the cursing also in Galatians 3. God explains what the blessing and the cursing is. I've always found that God's Word has reinforcement. If there's a certain passage I'm not sure of, needs clarification, I don't go to the scholars. Friends, do you? I don't go to all of the library books and see Socrates and Demosthenes and all of the great orators and philosophers. I don't care about Plato, Aristotle. I just turn somewhere else in the Word of God. I start reading. When I'm interested in a subject, I read everything there is on that subject. And I say, God, lead me to the verses I need to know. Lead me to the passage of Scripture. That's what God did. I read Genesis. I heard certain men comment on it. They gave me their opinion. I said, fine, thank you for your opinion. Now I'm going to go to the Word of God. I'm going to find the true meaning of these passages. And friends, if you want to know what Genesis means, there when Abraham is given the blessing and the covenant and the promise, then you better get to Galatians 3, and you're going to find some mighty things there. If ye be heirs of Abraham, then you are children of God through the promise that was given to Abraham. And you are of the seed of Abraham. Nothing to do with race, it has to do with faith. Well, the Jews said, but you don't understand, Jesus, we're Jews. We're special. We're of Abraham. We're of God because we're Jews. You know what Jesus said? He said he could raise up, God could raise up men to worship him from stones. Boy, that makes you feel real good. I can just see a young couple, you know, so lovey-dovey. And she said, well, God could replace you with a stone to her boyfriend. What would the boyfriend think? Boy, don't you know that would deflate his ego? That ever happened to you? Well, God deflated the ego of the Jews and of every man when he said he could raise up disciples from the stones. He doesn't need a certain race. He doesn't need us. But thank God he loves us. Well, we've got a beautiful song here now from Gold City. Jesus does love us and he cares for us. He cares for you. First, we're going to have this beautiful message in music, and then we'll go right into the next segment of my series, Who Are God's Chosen People? This is Tex Mars. Stay with us, friends, and now Gold City.
Thank you. each tear.
John 3, verse 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus. He went there privately, meaning secretly, because he was a ruler of the temple and the synagogue, and he didn't want anybody to know that this great learned man, Nicodemus, had to sneak away at night to go ask spiritual advice of this unlearned man from Galilee, Jesus. But he did. He was so curious. And he wanted to know how to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said, you've got to be born again. And he scratched his head, I suppose. I don't even know what you're talking about. How can I be born again? I can't go through my mother's womb. You see, he believed that being a Jew, he was of a favored race, and they had the law, and he would be born again, if you want to call it that, spiritually through that law. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, he really hadn't even been, actually, he hadn't even thought about born again, but he didn't really believe he could be born again, but he thought he would just obey the law and he would get to heaven, possibly. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Well, Nicodemus said, I can't be born again physically. And Jesus said, you must be born again in spirit and in truth. So here we have a principle. The principle is that Jesus looks at things of a spiritual nature. The inheritors of the kingdom, then, are those who are born again in spirit. Would you say that's true? In spirit and in truth. The flesh profiteth little, but it is the spirit, the Bible says, that quickeneth. Now, in America today, we have many people that claim that they're the true Jews. Did you know that the Mormons claim that they come from two tribes of Israel? The Jehovah's Witnesses say they're the true 144,000 of Israel. We could go on and on. There's the church called Identity. They believe the true Israelites are the white Anglo-Saxon race, and that blacks are just mud people, and that the Jews of Israel and the Jews in America, you know, that we know as Jews, that they are fakes and imposters. And that's what they teach. So it's sort of a white man's religion. If you're white, Anglo-Saxon, then you should know that your identity is as an Israelite. Okay? That's what they teach. All that they teach evolves around race. There is even some black groups that claim that they're the true Jews. And they try to show lineology or genealogy from Egypt and so forth. These people that are identity have these genealogical charts that they will show you. and books about genealogies. And it brought me to understand what Paul told us in Titus 3:9. He says, avoid endless genealogies and fables. Avoid them. You know, there's even some people in Europe, the Priory of Zion, a secret society, that claim they're of the blood lineage of Jesus. That the King of the earth, when the New World Order is finally formed, will come out of the Priory of Zion. They believe that Jesus had children. Remember the movie, The Last Temptation of Christ? So they have this long genealogy, and they believe that the blood of Jesus is alive today. Someone is the heir because he literally is a descendant of a relationship that Jesus had with Mary or Magdalene or maybe Martha or whatever. But Titus 3:9 says, avoid endless genealogies and fables. And I believe we should. So let's go direct to the Word of God. Should we do that? I think this is a very important issue. Because, you know, a lot of Christians actually feel inferior. I went to a prophecy conference where a speaker got up and literally cried and said, oh, if I had only been born a Jew, I feel so lowly. I've gone to prophecy conferences and women wear the Star of David and they somehow believe, you know, this is going to connect them with the Jews. And there are, of course, many, many Christians today who go to Messianic Jewish churches. Because they believe somehow they'll be favored. There are people who give to Israeli causes. Because they believe if they bless Israel, they'll be blessed. Sort of a form of a prosperity gospel. You give to Israel, God will give to you. Okay? You give to get, so you give to Israel. All of these fables that are going around. And the Jews themselves love this. I can't tell you how many Jewish publications I get. Commentary Magazine, Forward, and others. Where they talk about themselves. They pride themselves on being God's chosen people. The people of the book, etc. And so, being of a curious mind and knowing that this is the only absolute book that could tell us who are God's chosen people, I just decided to look for it in the Bible. Do you blame me? And you know, I think I found it. It's there. First of all, we start in the book of Genesis, a great place to start, where God called Abram. God called Abram, who later became Abraham. Chapter 12 of Genesis says, now the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country. Remember, he had been a Chaldean. He came from Ur of the Chaldees. Basically, Abraham was a Babylonian. Was he Semitic? I suppose so, but we don't forget the fact that he was a Babylonian. And there in Ur, and the city is still there, in modern-day Iraq, there they worship many different gods, many different idols. But Abraham believed in the true God. And God told him and his family, come out of Ur of the Chaldees, and I'm going to bring you into Canaan. Sort of a come out of Egypt or come out of Babylon type of statement from God, and Abraham did so. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Right away we have a quandary. Did it say, and in thee shall all Jews be blessed? All the nation of Israel be blessed? No. God told Abraham, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We have now a blessing that is going to be available to all, right? All families of the earth. That's sort of interesting. Now let's go to chapter 15 of Genesis, God's agreement with Abram. Abraham was concerned about his lineage. He felt he would have no children. He was going to go childless. Remember that? And he said, I'm not going to have a seed. Well, here's what God said. Verse 5 says, and he, that is God, brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. You ever looked on a nice dark night, laid down on the grass and looked up at the stars? You can't count them. You can't do it. Even the astronomers admit they can't. They have never counted all the stars. They haven't found them all. Verse 6 says, "And he," that is Abraham, "believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." Now, right away, we've got another principle, a spiritual principle. Abraham believed in the Lord. And what did God do? He counted that for righteousness. Was Abraham a righteous man? I suppose, in a manner of speaking, yes. Was he a perfect man? No. Are you perfect? Well, maybe you're more perfect than me, but still you're not perfect. But do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in God? Then God will count that for righteousness. Very wonderful spiritual principle we have. Did God count it as righteousness because he was a Jew? Well, he came from Babylon. The nation of Israel didn't even exist. Had nothing to do with being of a certain race. It had to do with faith. It had to do with belief. And God counted that for righteousness.
You have been listening to Pastor Tex Mars in Bible Home Church. Please tune in next week as Pastor continues this series entitled, Who Are God's Chosen People?
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.